My big passion in life is cellared wine, and I happen to live most of the year in Kent, which is a fantastic vineyard county in England. So I just want to share with you a few really quite deep insights into the wines that I've opened today and just general wine buying and cellaring. And the two wines that I've opened, as you know if you've been regarding this article, are the Chateau Delhaime Fronsac 2020 14.5% Merlot and the Chateau Gigolle Cuvée Viva Two Roses 2019 Blaye Côte de Bordeaux 14%. They're both right bank 100% Merlot, so they're very remarkable in that they're incredibly quality wines, masses of integrity. These wines have been made for the absolute dedicated passion of it, and there's nothing in there about the mass market whatsoever. I feel extraordinarily privileged to be able to cellar and enjoy these wines. Okay, so here are two fantastic French wines, and I'm just going to pour a little bit more into each glass. And what I've done tonight is I've tasted them, I've talked about them, and I've cooked a chicken. Now, I think because of my month in the vineyard, it's not a bad idea if every Sunday night I cook a chicken and I eat some of the chicken as a hot meal. And then for the next 3 days, I can, you know, put that into my lunchbox, if you like, for the vineyard. So I've got like Scotch egg, massive fine tomato, little oranges, a chocolate bar, some tortilla chips, and then, you know, a part of a roast chicken. I think that's very, very good, very balanced, for, you know, you want instant energy and you want energy right over a 8 to 10 hour day. So what I do to start with, I just get up, I wash and dress as quickly as I possibly can, and I don't even have coffee. I just have tinned grapefruit and mandarins. That's it. That's the set off. And then I wear some really fantastic leather DMs shoes, and I wear a t-shirt, a short sleeve shirt, and a fleece, and then I can integrate those as and when I need, because the weather can do just anything in just like half an hour. We can have everything from winter grey cold to summer blue hot. And the endurance you need up there, and the, you know, you're on your feet all the time, and you're lifting 5 kilos at a time, right? You're dealing with all kinds of difficulties and dangers and endurance. It's no small undertaking. If I can keep this going up until the harvest party, that will be the greatest undertaking in my life ever. I mean, we're talking a soft, cozy, gushy wushy Kent piano teacher sits on her arse all day going into a vineyard. We're not only outdoors all of those 8 to 10 hours, but we're coping with every type of weather. We're on our feet all the time, and if we're not on our feet for as much as 3/4 of an hour in that day, we're sitting with our bottoms on an upturned bucket in the outdoors. It's just unbelievable. But you do learn teamwork, and you do learn people skills, and you learn as well that if you can find someone that's kind of on the same level as you, you're going to be, you know, really integrating as a, because you pair up with someone and each of you is snipping the grapes each side of the vines down an aisle, basically. And then there's a tractor coming up, and the bucket runners are responsible for grabbing your full up buckets and then tipping them into the boxes on the tractor. It's massive teamwork. I've never seen anything like it. It's utterly incredibly thrilling and pulsating, but massively enduring. It's like an army route march every single day, you know. So it's giving me a completely new insight into the world of wine, Wine is fantastic. You buy wine, you drink it. You might go to a wine tasting. You might eventually get into cellaring your own wine. You might even go to a vineyard anywhere, you know, Bodega in Spain, a vineyard in France, one in England, wherever you are, and you get the tour and you taste the wines. That's all fantastic. But there's nothing quite like getting involved in the actual grape harvest and snipping some of those bunches off, right? So you know that the vintage that you'll be drinking in 3 years' time was actually created by you. That is something else. That is you imbibing your soil. We've got soil, we've got rootstock, we've got the grape clone, we've got the leaves, we've got the bunches of grapes. We pick the bunches of grapes, they've become grapes through imbibing all the water and nutrients out of the soil, and they go into the tractor and into the pressing room. You couldn't have a product that is closer to nature than red or white wine. Rosé wine, sparkling wine. It's not only close to nature, you are taking the goodness out of the soil. It is the best thing. It's the best thing that you ever eat or drink in your life. It's better than water. It's much more healthy for you than anything else. And if you've ever heard all that rubbish about wine being bad for you, well, someone out there doesn't want you to get all the natural goodness there is. We've been drinking wine for millennia. Suddenly it's not such a good thing. Why would that be? And we're living in the day and age of paracetamols. Come on. What are paracetamols? 99.9% talcum powder. You want to eat talcum powder or you want to drink the goodness of your soil? Okay, so here we are, two fantastic wines. And what I want to do is I just want to go a little bit deeper into my insights over the years of how my ideas of wine have changed and why I think it's the best thing you can possibly feed your body. And I'm using the vineyard experience over 4 to 6 weeks to massively increase my ability to teamwork, people skills, endurance, general fitness, and just being able to take a project as a whole, turn it into something amazing, even though it's raining on me. And I don't have that many cloves, and. So, in the beginning, I had a bottle of red wine and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't think I was going to be able to drink all of it. It was probably a very cheap bottle of red wine. I didn't know what it was going to taste like and I didn't know what it was going to do to my body. And I thought probably I would drink a third to a half of it and then I would perhaps put it in the fridge. I didn't know how long it would last in the fridge. In today's world, I never put a red wine in the fridge unless it's the month of June, in which case I will put a Beaujolais or a Margaret River Shiraz or something similar to that into the fridge for 20 minutes perhaps, and then I will slice strawberries in it. It's the thing I do in June and only June, okay? It's a special for June, chilled red wine, probably of one varietal. Very simplistic, beautiful wine with sliced strawberries in, okay? Now, the complete opposite end of that is two magnificent Bordeaux from Blay and Fronsac. And, you know, I'm really mellowing in here. I've roasted the chicken. I'm just about to do kale and parsnip with it, only because I've got some kale and parsnip that need using up. Then in the week, I'm going to eat it cold with a scotch egg and a tomato and so on the vineyard. But I'm going to have sliced peach and melon with it. And I'm going to continue that for as long as we're doing the work in the vineyard. I think I'll do that. I'll have scotch egg and tomato and or chicken with melon and peach. And that's fantastic, more or less non-carb food that's just going to build me up while I'm needing all that strength. And then I'm going to do a 10-day fast. The reason being that I want to get rid of the supermarkets in my life. And I want to just buy from the fisheries, the farms, and anybody who's got something nice to sell that they've grown themselves, basically. Because I want to get rid of all the E numbers, the processed food, manufactured shortages and that of the supermarkets, their hyperinflation, all the rest of it. You know, it's just junk, yeah? And I want to eat my own soil. That is my project for my much longer term vision of my life. Today I'm having two Bordeaux's and they're not off my soil, but one day they will be, because I'm going to create the best wine in the world, and it's going to be grown in places like Kent, East Sussex, Hampshire, Dorset, Essex, Suffolk, Hertfordshire, you know, and who knows, maybe counties much further north, Derbyshire. Whoa, Scotland, whoa. You know, we don't know what we could do until we try, and we might be able to do something under glass. All it takes is the vision of one person and an absolute dedication to passion and integrity. So I'm just going to taste the Chateau Gougault. Now, I know you've listened to me for a long time, but I want to tell you it in a different light, okay? This is a wine of soil, earth, dried tobacco leaves. There's a lot of tannins on the tongue. There's not a lot of fruit in this one. If there's any fruit at all, it's blackcurrant. Bit of sandpaper, bit of pencil shavings, and a whole lot of good rubbing up my chest. That is a wine with an immense pedigree. That is a wine that is going to make good blood. That is a wine that I'm going to look forward to when I'm picking the grapes, and I'm going to come home and I'm going to have a glass of that wine and whatever it is that I have to eat, right? That's going to power pack me for the next day. And the Chateau d'Alem 2020, very different beast indeed. Now, it's very fascinating to have two wines that are so close to each other in proximity, in alcoholic content, in vintage, and just get to know them from the look of them in the glass. The Gigot is just a little bit browner, and the D'Alem is sort of almost a blue-purple type of red, okay? But you could tell them apart, both from the look, the nose, and, well, the taste. The D'Alem is just like arrows shooting into you. If you ever had pins and needles, it's that type of experience in a glass. There's a lot of cutting-edge damson in there. And tartness, you know, cranberry tartness, that type of thing. What I like to think back on is my journey in wine from that first bottle, which I wasn't very sure of. I didn't know how drunk it would make me. I wasn't sure what to pair the food with. It was a whole new beast, and I was early 20s, and it was called red wine, and I wasn't sure how it was going to fit into my life, but I had a suspicion it might fit into my life at some point in the future. And the next thing I had was a lady gave me a box of white wine. Yeah, I don't know, it was 2.25 litres or something like that. Might have been as much as 3 litres. And that was a beast of burden. I can't remember. It was a Sauvignon Blanc or a Suave. But I didn't really know much about white wine either. And I wasn't sure how much you should drink and all that type of thing. I didn't really know very much at all. Nowadays, I realise all you've got to do is to drink until you fall asleep on the sofa, and then you won't be able to drink anymore, and you'll wake up the next day and you've got things to do. That's about it, really, isn't it? It's that simple. But, you know, I've come a long way in wine. I've met all the Laithwaite family in 2018. I've hit the top of the tree as top wine reviewer for the wine club. I sell out on Premier wines. I could go anywhere you like, and blindfold, I could tell you whether I'm drinking a red or white wine and what grape variety it is. I could give you a pretty good idea as to what country it was born in, and a really quite a good proximity of what vintage it was. Probably more than anyone else in Britain. Am I boasting? Well, try me and see. Organise a wine tasting. I'll come along, give you the the nub of it. And along the way, I've met some surprisingly good bargain wines, like, just for example, the Taste the Difference Western Australia Shiraz from Sainsbury's. You know, you're looking at, just say, £7.50, £8 a bottle. You're going to get a really world-class wine in that bottle. You may or may not like it, but you will. Okay, the Beefsteak Liberty Malbec. Don't matter where you buy it from. It really is a good wine, and it's surprisingly cheap. Okay, so there's a lot of wines out there like that that are just fantastic every time. You know, you want a good all-round wine, the Hardy's Crest, Free Grapes, it's Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot Shiraz, that'll work every time. And I found a new one called Terre di Fiano, Nero di Troia, organic wine. Again, really beautiful deep cherry wine from Italy. Some of these shop wines, you're just going to be fine with them every time. But they're not going to challenge you, and they're not going to give you that immense feeling that you are in control. And when you have found some nice Bordeaux that you can buy 12 of, you can sell them, you can reel them out at about 2 bottles a year. And you can really enjoy them with some fantastic food pairings and possibly guests, although why you'd want guests with wines like this, I can't imagine, but you might do. You're really hitting the high time in wine, and I've got to a point where I'm thinking, where do I go next? Top wine reviewer, you know, priority customer, entrepreneur, where do I go next? Then the next is to get into the vineyard, pick the grapes, do the harvest, find out everything there is to know about making wine, and make wine. So here's to making wine. You can make love any day of the week, but wine takes a whole year to vintage.